Okay, so I'm saying, I know Tai Chi is a graceful movement.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a martial art thing.
Yeah.
But obviously it's very much about breath.
Yeah.
Breathing. And I call it in the book, The Beauty of Breathing.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds like a really stupid question, but can you just explain why breathing, or more specifically diaphragmatic breathing, is so important? And I'm only asking that question, Paul, because as much as it sounds kind of crazy, many people in the gym today don't know how to do it.
Oh,
many classes still just don't teach it. So
no.
I find with the whole pelvic floor program,
yeah,
it's the foundation of the program.
Yeah, it has to be.
But people find it so frustrating because they just can't breathe that way.
So yeah. Okay, so the question is, what is the importance of diaphragmatic breathing?
Yeah.
Yeah. The first of all, if you look at Chinese medicine, you have 12 primary meridians for each of your major organs, right? But the lung is the chief meridian because the energy or life force that we bring into our body that is the most essential to survival is breath itself.
Mm.
So in my system, oxygen is considered a nutrient. Because without oxygen, you can't live. You've got 3 minutes before your brain starts to die. So if you look at the cycle of energy through the meridians, it always begins with the lung. And it rotates through that cycle twice in a 24-hour period. But without breathing, there's no energy to cycle, right? Somebody who's not breathing is dead. Okay, so step one is that your most essential form of cultivating life force energy, which in Taoism is called qi, in Hinduism, it's called prana, right? So it's called many other things in other cultures, but really it all means life force. Breathing is the first and most important mechanism in our body for bringing life force in. Exercising is another one. Sleeping is another one. Eating food is another one. Drinking water or liquid foods is another source of energy. So the sunlight is another form, right? But of all those, there's only one that you have to have regularly or you're going to die, and that's breathing. So breathing's the chief source of life force cultivation. That's one key thing. Second of all, breathing is the mechanism that is the first and most important driver of our biological pumps. So the diaphragm creates the biggest pressure fluctuations in the body. And the pressure fluctuations of the diaphragm create pressure fluctuations in the intra-abdominal cavity, and those are the pressure fluctuations that ultimately affect the pelvic floor. So if someone, for example, there's only two classic reactions to stress that manifest in the breathing that make the breath abnormal. One is to hold the breath, which acidifies the body very rapidly, and causes all sorts of problems to happen, from parasite infections to chronic fatigue to challenging the body to maintain the right pH in the blood to problems in digestive and eliminative systems. I mean, it literally acidifies the body because breathing alkalizes the body. So if you stop breathing, your whole pH regulation system becomes very challenged, and it's very stressful to the body. And once any of the pH ranges becomes out of normal, the interaction, the inner sense of self is though you're dying inside. So the person doesn't really realize this is happening, but their behavior becomes very stressed, very kind of manic, you know, like something's wrong and they don't know what it is. So it's, you see this sort of anxious behavior in a lot of people. And think of all the women with urinary stress incontinence. If you look at their psychological profile, it's often anxious behavior. So the term nervous bladder is very classically seen in these women. So what you find is they're typically either holding their breath, which is a fear reaction, or they're hyperventilating.
Yeah.
And if you're hyperventilating, you're still in trouble because the diaphragm has to have quite a long range of excursion. All the way back in 1934, Joel E. Goldthwaite, who wrote the book Body Mechanics and Health and Disease, showed in that period of time, which is, you know, almost 100 years ago, that the average person was only using two-thirds of their normal diaphragmatic breath or two-thirds of the excursion of the diaphragm. And he showed this on x-ray studies where you could actually see the diaphragm and you could see people were not moving the diaphragm very much at all. And he would ask people, take a full breath and take an x-ray of them, right? And they were hardly breathing.
Yeah.
So when you consider that that diaphragm creates the massive pressure fluctuations that ultimately run the venous and lymphatic system, That's the cleanup system of the body. That's the exchange system. So you can't have arterial delivery if you don't have venous return.
Yeah.
So if a person's not breathing right and they're anxious or they're athletic, well, one of the side effects of having a lot of arterial pressure but not a good venous return is hemorrhoids and varicose veins. Now, other people have different ideas about varicose veins, saying, for example, that they might be congenital. But the reality of it is, I can tell you for sure that varicose veins come from pressure return problems, because one, I've seen them in a lot of athletes, especially women who have tight pelvic floors. And hemorrhoids is common in women with tight pelvic floors, especially athletes. And I ended up getting them myself from traveling so much on airplanes, because the back of the airplane seat presses behind my legs and stops the venous return from the legs. So the heart keeps pumping down there, right?
But nothing's coming back.
So what you start seeing is they're not so bad now because I haven't been flying so much. But you see how those veins are start coming to the surface like that. See that?
Mm.
That is all from traveling around on airplanes. And that's because the back of the seat pushes right there. So if you just think of that, well, how is that inability to return blood up the system any different than someone who's not breathing properly? It creates exactly the same problem. So the same way that you can have pressure behind the knee from an airplane seat, that can end up causing, you know, a damaged vascular structure, somebody who's not breathing right is still standing up in a field of gravity. So gravity is trying to pull everything down all the time. But if the pump's not working, well, if the diaphragm's not working properly, the abdominals aren't working properly, which means the pelvic floor is not working properly, which means you have gravitational pull against the venous system, but because the pumps are actually what brings it up into back into the heart, so it can be recirculated and oxygenated, if the diaphragm's not working and the breathing's not working, then you're going to have all sorts of problems, from visceral pathology. Also, every time you take a breath, when the diaphragm drops down, each organ goes through its own unique type of motion called motility. So each organ rocks and moves in its own pattern. And those rocking motions are very, very important. They're part of the organ's natural life. So just like your chest expands when you breathe in and lets go, and your colon gets full as waste material comes into it, but then it has to release that. Just like your bladder gets full and then empties, every part of your body is going through an expansion-contraction cycle. Just like the inhalation of the breath supinates the body and moves you out of the fetal position, and exhalation brings you back in.
Mm.
Literally every bone in your body, even your cranial bones, are going through that cycle. You ever wore a hat that was too tight and it gives you a headache?
Headache, yeah.
Well, that's because your brain can't breathe. So the oxygen can't get into your brain. It's literally holding the bones too still. Those bones are oscillating with every breath, and people don't realize that. So the importance of the breath really is extreme. I mean, it's...
That's it?
It's far-reaching. I mean, that's why it's the top of my totem pole. There's no sense going after any problem a person has, even an orthopedic problem, because if they're not breathing, it means they can't heal properly.
Mm.
Right, breath brings life force to the area and removes waste, and it also brings nutrition. So breathing is a system that brings oxygen, which is life force, nutrition, which is rebuild and repair, and removes waste. And if that system's not working, then I don't, you know, say you just had a surgery for a hip, maybe you fell, had a hip fracture or whatever, or a rotator cuff tear. Well, if someone can't breathe right, those injuries last longer and longer and longer because the delivery system shut down. It's like the food's not coming in and the garbage isn't going out. That's a formula for disaster right there.
You've got to breathe, number one.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, so it wasn't a simple question.
No, it isn't.
But I needed to ask you that question.
Yeah.
Good.